And we shouldn't suppose that Jewish people don't need the gospel. They certainly do. And the vast majority of Jewish people today fall into the category of what Yeshua called the lost sheep of Israel. They're Jewish by ethnicity only, not living lives of faith, not practicing, not observant, and not even believing necessarily in God. God is not in their lives. The vast majority of Jewish people are as secular as the secular Gentile, both in Israel and abroad. These are the people that move our master's heart, that he longs to reach, that he longs to eat with, to sit with, to gently beckon, to love, and to bring back through repentance into the fold of Israel. Yet I think it's important that the goal of such outreach efforts is not to make Christians out of Jews, but to bring Jewish people back to Torah by way of discipleship to Yeshua of Nazareth. Nothing could be more consistent with the original gospel proclaimed in the Galilee and in Judea by our Master. Repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. An effective method of reaching the Jewish people is simply the propagation and distribution of the Gospels presented in their original form as Jewish books, presented as Jewish literature. And toward that end, First Fruits of Zion and Vine of David are doing things like printing Hebrew-English Gospels and commentary on the Gospels by Jewish believers. Just getting the Gospel into Jewish hands alone is a worthy goal. And from there, relying on the Holy Spirit's work. My most successful conversations with Jewish people about Yeshua and the gospel have occurred through relationship. When the person I'm speaking with knows me well enough to know that I'm not going to try to convert or proselytize or pressure them into making a decision or something. Now, of course, I'm going to try to persuade. Otherwise, why would I be having the conversation in the first place? But I make it clear when discussing Yeshua with Jewish people that I am not about to try to missionize them. The Jewish community has been so harassed by Christian missionary efforts for so long that among the Jewish people, the word missionary is a dirty word, a derogatory term. Missionaries are seen as deceivers who are attempting to steal Jewish people from Judaism and add them to the church. Once, a young Jewish man and a Christian girl were wanting to get married. So the Christian girl thought it would be a good idea to have her fiancé talk to me, hoping, I think, that I would be able to convert him, I suppose, before they got married. So they arranged to meet with me, and she brought her reluctant fiancé over to my house. Now, as soon as he came in, I could sense his apprehension right there in his body language. So I told him right away, "You should feel very welcome here, and just know that no one is going to try to convert you." Immediately, his entire countenance changed as if relief washed over his body, and he relaxed, and then he sat down with me. It turned out that he was the son of a prominent local rabbi, living in fear of what his father was going to say about his wanting to marry this Gentile girl, this Christian girl. Now confident that I was not going to try to convert him, he felt comfortable talking about the gospel, about Yeshua, about the role of Torah, and so forth. And I was actually able to present the gospel and the Jewish Jesus to him in a manner that I never would have been able to do if I had set out to proselytize him. I was able to encourage them both that if they wanted to make the marriage work, they would have to meet one another in the middle, so to speak. And that place in the middle, I felt, was Yeshua of Nazareth, that he should learn the gospel and become a follower of Rabbi Yeshua, and that she should honor her fiancé, honor his family, and honor his heritage and his people by undergoing a conversion to Judaism, so long as she could do so without renouncing her faith in Yeshua. After that, they both began to attend my weekly Torah classes. I don't know how their story ended. I eventually lost touch with them, didn't see them anymore. But I tell you this story simply to show that there is more room for sharing the gospel and our faith in Messiah through respectful, relational dialogue rather than aggressive proselytism. The Jewish community is well insulated against proselytism because no other group of people has been so aggressively targeted by missionaries so consistently for so long. Judaism, by contrast, does not proselytize, at least not in any official capacity. If a Gentile goes to a Jewish rabbi and says, I'd like to convert to Judaism, at least traditionally, the rabbi is supposed to dissuade him, turn him away twice. It's not for you. You don't need to be Jewish. It's a hard road, and so on. And only if he comes back a third time is the rabbi ready to talk. I think this is brilliant. I think this is a brilliant way of proselytizing. We call it reverse psychology. I wonder if we should try it. It reminds me of a story told by Rabbi Paul Philip Levertov, who was well known in the Jewish community as an apostate, a famous apostate, because he was a believer. And one time, a young Jewish man came to him and said, I want to become a Christian. Will you baptize me? Levertov answered, What do you want to do that for? He pressed the young man with more questions and finally got to the bottom of the matter. The young man admitted that unless he was a Christian, he was not going to be accepted at the university to which he was applying. What did Levertov do? He told the young man, Christianity is not for you. Then he went to the academic dean of the university and prevailed upon him to admit the young Jew to the university as a Jew. He used his significant weight and prestige, and the dean agreed to admit the young man as a Jew. The young Jewish man was absolutely flabbergasted by all of this. He could not understand why Levertov had refused to baptize him, nor could he understand why he had gone to such extraordinary lengths to help get him into the university. It was exactly the opposite of what he expected from a missionary. But it intrigued him so much that he stayed in relationship with Levertov, and, as you can imagine, he eventually came to a real faith in Levertov's Messiah and became a believer. Not for some outside reason, but because of real faith. When you're sharing the gospel with an agenda to convert someone, it comes across, it's obvious that you're trying to sell them. It's phony, and Levertov knew this. At First Fruits of Zion, we are often criticized because we aren't doing Jewish evangelism. That's not what we do. People criticize us because they think that the only purpose for Messianic Judaism is to reach Jewish people with the gospel. But I want to challenge this idea. Messianic Judaism cannot be just a missionary endeavor. It is not a missionary arm of Christianity. It's more than that. It has roots in that, but that is not its purpose. That is not its goal. Messianic Judaism has its own integrity as a legitimate form of faith. It need not justify its existence as a missionary outreach. Instead, it is by itself a legitimate form of Judaism with its own integrity and a legitimate form of Christianity. I would argue the most legitimate form of Christianity, at least the most authentic form of Christianity from a biblical perspective. As such, it needs to be more than just evangelism. So First Fruits of Zion is an educational organization dedicated to teaching Christians about their Jewish roots from a Messianic Jewish perspective. That's what we do. That's who we are. That's our role. That's the role we play. We are not a missionary organization. We are also involved in providing educational materials and theological input into the formation of Messianic Judaism. That's what we do as an educational organization. Nevertheless, there's a definite missionary aspect to what we are doing, a Jewish evangelism aspect to what we are doing, and it is a critical job, something that should have been done a long time ago. We are attempting to remove the theological obstacles to Jewish faith in Messiah that have been raised by traditional Christianity's sad legacy of anti-Torah, anti-Jewish misinterpretations of Yeshua and the gospel. And we see this as a critical work, critical to contribute toward the salvation of Israel. We are trying to educate the church about the role of Israel, the role of Torah, the role of Jewishness, so that when Jewish evangelism does happen, the obstacles are gone, and Jewish people are not stripped of their Jewish identity simply by becoming believers. That's our role. That's our job in the body. As the Messianic Jewish movement grows, it's important that it remain centrally Jewish. One danger from the influx of Gentile Christians into the movement is that the Messianic Jewish movement becomes a Messianic Gentile movement. It's important for the sake of Jewish outreach that it remain Jewish, but also for the sake of internal integrity, that Messianic Jewish congregations with a majority of Jewish people must exist. For that reason, a Messianic Jewish synagogue might not be oriented toward church growth in the traditional manner.